Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour? Mostly football stuff. Got a little TV there at the end. Man, if you look at the filmography for Joel and Ethan Coen, pretty damn impressive, especially from like 87 to 2000.
Yeah, they've got some strong stuff.
Blood Simple in 84, Crime Wave in 86, which I'm not sure I've ever seen that one.
I can tell you I've not seen Crime Wave.
Sam Raimi directed it too, which I'm surprised I haven't seen that. But then Raising Arizona.
That's a good show.
Miller's Crossing, which I love. Barton Fink, I'm not as high on Barton Fink. Hudsucker Proxy, which is really good. Fargo, Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The Man Who Wasn't There in 2001.
Never saw it.
Intolerable Cruelty in 2003. Lady Killers in 2004. No Country for Old Men.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a good one. Burn After Reading. Serious Man, True Grit in 2010, which I thought was really good. Gambit in 2012. Inside Llewyn Davis in 2013. I never saw that. Unbroken, Bridge of Spies in 2015, which Spielberg directed. I thought that was pretty solid. It wasn't quite, it didn't strike me as the typical Coen film. Hail Caesar, which was awful. Suburbicon, did you ever see that?
No.
Maybe it's not out yet. It's supposed to be 2017. So, it's pretty damn good resume. There's not a lot of clunkers on that list. A couple other things wanted to get to. Somebody on Twitter was asking, Rory was a Redskins fan, surprised by the Ravens game. Is it more a reflection of the Ravens offense or the Skins defense? I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but... Yeah, I was going to do that today, and then something came up, but go back and watch all the games from last night. But, I mean, it's preseason. It's so hard to worry too much about anything. I mean, it just all you really care about is how do your ones look against their ones. That's all that really matters.
Right.
And even that doesn't mean too much. But I wouldn't panic yet. Gustavo says, so true about Miller's Crossing. That's one of my top 10 movies of all time. I love that movie. And I'm always big on, I like con movies, I like movies with twists, and I like gangster movies. And that has all of them.
I like war movies.
Yeah.
Big on war. Not actual war, but war movies.
Okay.
And then I like horror movies and superhero movies.
I'm with you on superhero movies. I like things that, where I get caught by surprise.
Yeah.
If you surprise me, if I'm watching the movie and I know how it ends 45 minutes into it, I'm probably not enjoying the movie. But if you keep those twists and turns going, I like it.
Did you see there's going to be a reboot of The Munsters?
No.
I don't know. There's no casting yet, but they say, I guess they tried to reboot The Munsters back in 2012 with a big-budget, hour-long show called Mockingbird Lane, directed by Bryan Singer, written by Brian Fuller. It had Jerry O'Connell, Portia de Rossi, and Eddie Izzard in the show, but was canceled after the first episode.
Huh.
But apparently they feel like they're going to give it another run. I don't like that. I love the Munsters. I don't think that they could do it again.
There are things that I'd be okay with rebooting. I don't think that's one of them. Like, to me, that was an iconic show. Leave it alone. Like, you can't redo Gilligan's Island.
No.
You couldn't do that, right?
No.
Or Mr. Ed.
But they made, like, Addams Family movies.
I'm okay with a movie. Okay. They made a Munsters movie, too.
Did they?
Yeah.
Like, recently?
15 years ago.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Pretty sure they did. I may be confusing it with the Addams Family.
I think maybe you are, yeah.
Because I did always confuse those growing up. Because they're kind of similar concepts, obviously. Danny says, not saying human poisons would work on dragons, but shouldn't Qyburn lace his darts with something Martell style? Random thought. I don't know. I don't know that that would work. I don't know if there's a dragon poison out there. You'd have to go find one.
Yeah, what are you, some kind of a dragon chemist? You don't know. You don't know what'll hurt those things.
Dustin said all these reboots need to stop.
I mean, that's the problem. Hollywood's lazy.
Yeah, they're lazy.
I don't know what else to do.
And they'll just take things that will make money. And to me, remaking Point Break might have been one of the dumbest things Hollywood's ever done. Now, I don't know how that movie did, but why would you do that? That and Total Recall.
Yeah.
When they remade Total Recall, like, what the hell are you people doing? And those movies weren't that old. If you want to go back and remake something from 1960, okay, that's a whole generation and a half. But you're getting movies from the 80s and 90s. That's way too soon to be doing reboots.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN.
I guess apparently people, Braun, there's been the actor, Jerome Flynn, has been getting even more grief than usual this week. Like, the actor has been. Like, people hate him.
Why?
Well, because he tried to kill the dragon.
Well, it's war. You're supposed to try to kill the dragon.
He's also an actor. But yeah, apparently he said, since the day the battle aired, he said, I've been a little unpopular. People have been yelling at him in public. He's obviously, social media has been rough for him. He said, even my postman won't speak to me because I shot the dragon.
What was it like being Ramsay Bolton then?
Yeah, imagine that.
Bet you that guy got some hatred.
I mean, even Ed Sheeran had to quit Twitter.
Yeah. Is he back on?
Yeah, he's back on, but according to him, he doesn't use it. He's not going to use it anymore. He was the day after the episode aired, he quit, then rejoined a few hours later, but only had like 500 followers.
I've heard that Ed Sheeran is like
and deleted a bunch of tweets.
Like, Ed Sheeran doesn't even carry a cell phone.
Yeah.
I like that. I wish I could be that evolved. But I've got to be connected.
Dustin says, hashtag worst reboots, Roseanne coming next year. That's really going to have her in it, right?
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah, they're like using the same cast, apparently, including both chicks who played Becky.
Hmm. Well, they did Fuller House a couple years ago, rebooted a couple. Maybe
a lot of people
last
watched
year.
It.
Yeah, yeah. All these 90s shows getting reboots, too. I mean, superhero movies are getting rebooted from the 2000s.
Well, you're on the third Spider-Man.
Yeah, and in the last 15 years or so.
But every one that you put out is going to make you a bunch of money. That's the difference there. You put out a Spider-Man movie, it can be awful. It could have a brand new Spider-Man every time and be a reboot every time, and it'll still make millions. Let's squeeze in a call. Adam, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just want to let y'all know, I heard they're remaking Scarface already, and they're going to do, which is, I know it's like another remake off for the one from the 30s or 40s, but I think Leonardo DiCaprio is going to play Scarface, and Sofia Vergara is going to be in there, too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a good idea, I don't think.
No, that one was done so well, and it's iconic. You don't do that, even though, yeah, it was a remake, but it was iconic. You can't do it again.
I feel like nothing good can come from that.
That's almost, to me, it'd almost be like remaking The Godfather.
Yeah.
Rebooting The Godfather.
Don't do it. Don't even try.
You know, somebody's thinking, there's some idiot in Hollywood right now going, you know, I think we could reboot The Godfather.
Probably.
And I think it'd be awesome. There's certain movies you should never touch. I think Scarface is one of them. Jeff says, I heard they're going to reboot Miami Vice.
I feel like, didn't they try that?
They did a movie, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see, I didn't mind some of the movies. Like the Starsky and Hutch movie, to me, was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't think I did.
Owen Wilson. It was pretty funny.
What about...
I think that kind of kicked off the whole make TV shows into comedy movies.
Like 21 Jump Street.
22
yeah.
Jump Street.
Ships.
Baywatch,
yeah.
It's amazing how people get mad at that. It's like, those were serious shows. It's like...
If you thought Baywatch was a serious show... I don't want your opinion on television anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
When you have like lifeguards like doing crime work.
Yeah. You know what the police would say? Hey, stay in your lane, dummy.
Don't go into the deep end.
Yeah, Dustin's got a bunch of good ones. Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh yeah, that's
another movie.
Starsky and Hutch before Dukes of Hazzard?
I think it was. I might be wrong about that.
I'll check it.
Yeah, and
do some fact checking.
MacGyver, Bewitched. Out there. Yeah.
I don't think they made did they make a MacGyver movie or was that MacGruber?
Well, there was a MacGruber.
And then they remade the MacGyver television
show.
Well,
I think they're redoing MacGyver. I think there's a reboot of that. I could be wrong.
I think they redid it as a television show, but I don't know if they did a movie. I do know they did a MacGruber movie.
Yeah, no, but I do think that there is a MacGyver reboot coming.
Okay.
Dukes of Hazzard was a year after Starsky and Hutch.
Okay.
Kind of the same era.
Good job, John.
Yeah,
good job, fact check.
MacGyver, 2016 TV series. It's a reboot, which is created by Lee David Zietoff. October 17, 2016, CBS ordered a full season of 21 episodes.
There you go.
So it's actually out there happening now.
That's right.
They renewed the series
for a second
season. He is an operative of a secret U.S. government organization where he uses his extraordinary talent for problem solving and extensive knowledge of science to save lives. So, there you go.
MacGyver.
I don't know how I missed out on that one.
Did you like MacGyver, the TV show?
Not really. It was...
I want a comedy based on Murder, She Wrote. Is that too much to ask? You want a serious show. That was a serious show.
It probably was one of the more serious shows out there.
Damn right.
I want a comedy based on Perry Mason.
That'd be good.
Of course, there's so many legal shows now.
Yeah, there's too many legal shows. But I feel like Murder, She Wrote was different.
And then what was the one that Andy Griffin did after?
The Andy Matlock? Griffin show?
No, it was like Matlock. That was basically Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Rebooted under a different name.
Maybe they should do the Andy Griffith show as a comedy.
Wasn't it a comedy to
no,
begin with?
No, that was a serious
oh,
show.
Really?
It was a serious look at America.
I kind of thought, okay.
You know what might have been, beat that to the punch, making TV shows into movies? What about the Beverly Hillbillies movie?
Yeah,
that predates Starsky and Hutch,
yeah,
right?
that had to be one of the first ones.
But that had the original cast in it, didn't it?
No.
Oh, didn't it not?
No.
But then, wait a minute, wouldn't the Flintstones have been first?
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Because that one was way back there.
But that doesn't count because the real Flintstones were cartoons.
True. Well, the ones in the movie had to shave, and they probably should have used Harry's.
Rosie O'Donnell uses Harry's.
I don't want to. No.
He's put that image in my head now.
That's right.
Yeah. I get to see her.
Only on her mustache, not on her.
Ow.
Not on her sensitive areas.
Honey, do you want to come help me with this?
How am I supposed to do this now? Guys, if
just reboot it. Reboot your read.
Good idea. Wonder who they would cast Rosie O'Donnell this time around. What was the guy who played in Moneyball, the assistant? What's his name? The
guy? Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. Yeah, you cast Jonah Hill in her role. In Flintstones. And then he'll definitely use Harry's.
That might be solid.
Yeah. And then he'll use Harry's because 3 million other guys have switched to Harry's, including me. And if you haven't done it yet, man, it's so convenient. It comes right to your mailbox. And you're paying less money because you're buying it from the factory and they're selling it directly to you. And you get a great shave. So what are you waiting for? They're so confident that you're going to love their blades. They're going to give you their set for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. Your free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. We partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Head over to harrys.com/blitz to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer. That's right, I said free. All you cover is just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set that includes a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/blitz. That's harrys.com/blitz. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Pretty sure this song was the one that, when I first, the first show I ever did at 1560 with David Nuno, I think this was the opening song. Because Nuno was all about that.
He was about that Kanye life?
Yeah. Yo, Adrian says, to reboot shows like Miami Vice, it needs to be on Netflix with cussing and nudity. I'd watch that. I don't know that, but Miami Vice was such kind of a period piece.
Yeah, it wouldn't work now.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be, well, you can't wear those clothes, that's for sure.
No.
And
by the way, why were those guys always on boats? Like, I mean, how much crime is really happening, like, you know?
It's a lot of drug smuggling.
I guess so. Seems difficult to enforce.
Yeah. Did you see what?
I did see a story the other day where this guy called the Coast Guard because he ran out of gas. And, you know, when you've run out of gas, and this happened to me before,
you take
a boat out and you run out of gas, you call the Coast Guard. So this guy did that, but he had several hundred pounds of drugs on the boat.
Whoops.
Yeah. Usually I would just be like, let's get out and push.
Yeah. Get the rose out.
Yeah.
See that Leonard Fournette, what he had to say about the NFL? Said, it's a lot slower than I really thought.
Yeah.
That's how I've been since I first got into the NFL. A lot of people were like, it's going to be fast. But by me playing in the SEC, that kind of helped me a lot. I think to me it was really easy. What have you done so far?
Well, Fred, he played in a preseason game.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, what did you think he was going to do?
One preseason game and it's easy. Okay.
I mean, they beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, how hard were the Patriots trying?
They were trying their hardest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They put out full effort, and Leonard Fournette was an unstoppable force. He had a touchdown. So, suck on that.
Well, I'm glad it's easy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to have a pretty good year, and it could be a good player for him. But
When's the last time the Texans beat the Patriots?
Wasn't that the game Welker blew out his knee?
Yeah, and Brady wasn't playing.
Well, he played some. It's like Hoyer played.
Yeah, and then he came in for like a series or two, and then went back out.
Because it was a meaningless game for the Patriots. Yeah. What year was that? That's going back.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, that was... Man, that would have been at least 5 years ago, I would think.
That would have been 2010. Which is the only time in the history of ever that the Texans beat the Patriots. 34-27 here at Reliant Field. That was January 3rd, 2010.
Wow.
That was against Brian Hoyer.
No, primarily Brian Hoyer.
And barely beat him.
Primarily Tom Brady. But then Brian Hoyer took over. So.
Yeah. And I remember, though, that was weird. Brady came back in the game for like one series.
Arian Foster, 20 carries, 119 yards, two touchdowns. That's strong. Second leading rusher for the Texans that day, Ryan Moats.
God.
That was a.
Don't you miss the Ryan Moats era?
That was a Matt Schaub 300 plus yard day. Two touchdowns and a pick. Edelman, 10 for 103. Leading receiver for the Texans that day. Any guesses?
It's got to be an Andre Johnson year.
He was number two.
Kevin Walter?
Nope, he was number five.
Owen Daniels?
Owen Daniels, no catches that day. Jacoby Jones was third. Arian Foster fourth. But the leader in the clubhouse? Joel Dreesen.
Oh, God.
Six catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. An unstoppable force that day.
Goodness gracious. Hey, are you a big DJ fan? Like, not DJs, music. I mean, music guys, not the, you know, not the guys who play music on the radio, but.
Okay. No, not really.
You might want to rethink this because you were originally going to be in the music business.
Right.
Would you care to know what the top 10 DJs actually make?
Dude, it's crazy. It's good money.
Per year, number one on the list, Calvin Harris. You familiar with his work?
Yeah.
$48.5 million.
That's good. It's a good gig. And they get like, they don't have to really tour. You can get a gig in Vegas working at a casino, and that's like all you
do.
Well,
there's that guy that's at MGM whose picture's all over the place, whose name I can't recall now. He's on the list. Steve Aoki, that's what it is.
Yeah.
$29.5 million. He's fifth.
What a life.
And Calvin Harris is he's both rich and very handsome.
Oh, I hate those guys.
He's the one that dated Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So tell me how many of these guys you know, because I really only know the one from seeing his face.
I actually know all of them.
Tiesto?
I don't know Tiesto.
$39 million, second on the list. The Chainsmokers.
I do know the Chainsmokers.
$38
million. They've got a really good gig worked out where they just make a beat, and then they find someone famous to sing on their songs.
Well, Calvin Harris does the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good gig. Like, you could do that. You get the right famous people who want to work with you, you can make some dough.
About Skrillex?
Skrillex, he was one of the first ones with the dubstep that really started that trend.
He's making $30 million. Then Aoki's fifth. Sixth is Diplo, 28.5.
Yeah.
Seventh, David Guetta. 25 million. Eight is Marshmello.
Not familiar with Marshmello's work.
21 million, and he wears a white suit with a marshmallow head.
Jong, you know Marshmello?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Martin. Jong's been to that show.
But I haven't been to any of these shows. I just know them just because they show up on social media and stuff like that.
Does Deadmau5 still exist?
Yeah.
Is he on the list?
Martin Garrix is ninth with 19.5, and coming in at 10th, Zedd. 19 million.
Zedd's dead,
baby.
I don't know if he's dead. He's making 19 million a year to be 10th on this list. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means.
What does it mean, Fred?
It means it's time for the best segment of the week with our good friend, the gambling guru of the world, even North Korea. He's even big in North Korea. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ Bell, what's going on, RJ?
I am fading North Korea.
they've got to be a pretty heavy dog, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna put them at plus 55,000.
Yeah.
So have you guys been talking politics today or last couple of days?
Not today. We talked a little bit about it the other day, but we haven't talked much today.
Well, I just wonder what's the feedback, because, you know, Twitter, there's a certain type that's very active on Twitter, and usually I think there's a – not with everyone for sure, but probably the IQ over success is it's a smart, underperforming group, and thus there's a ton of snark, right? Because when you're not doing as well as you think you should and someone else is seemingly doing better – there tends to be snark. So I know that the way Twitter tends to be, but I think talk radio is more of a, obviously callers or people who text in are going to be a certain group of, you know, people who like to engage, which is a minority. But amongst that group, I think they're probably more representative of the country than, let's say, Twitter. I mean, what's been the feedback about President Trump's aggressive approach?
We honestly, if there's a call on the line that says Trump or wants to talk about Trump or wants to talk about politics, we just don't pick up that call.
Okay, but I thought
we might talk about it amongst ourselves, but we're not letting other people talk about it on the air, because then it'll just get crazy.
Yeah.
So what's the take of the brain trust?
My take, I'm a big believer in, like, I don't think it's coincidence that when a Republican's in office, wars tend to flare up. I'm a big believer in, and this is, I'm a veteran, so, and I think I'm in the minority amongst veterans, but I don't like when we're at war. I don't feel like I feel like often we go to war unnecessarily, so I'm not looking for that. But if somebody like actually drops a bomb on Guam, I mean, you gotta rain hell down on those guys.
Yeah, you know, I guess the question is, it's always funny, they say the victor writes the history.
Right.
Right. So, like, Benedict Arnold would have been a hero, right, if we would have lost. Is George Washington. It'd be like, you're a George Washington, which is like, you're a traitor, right? So, it's pretty good. Is, to me, if you read about World War II and obviously Hitler, is there was a lot of people, and Joe Kennedy, who was the ambassador to to England at the time, was a big – they, in hindsight, they were called appeasers, right? Saying, oh, let Hitler have Poland. Let Hitler have – – because we don't want to die over it, right? We don't want our boys dying over it. And in hindsight, those people are like, you know, Hitler lovers, people think, the appeasers. Right? Even that America First has history back with Charles Lindbergh, and a lot of people probably know this, whereas it was like, hey, let's not worry about what's going on in Europe. So I guess that's the question, right, is – going into a war that, and I think a lot of people would feel, you know, with Iraq in 2002 or whatever, 2003 and onward, that, hey, that was unnecessary, right? Especially with the bad intel.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, if the people who poo-pooed World War II are considered, you know, potentially anti-Semites back in the day, there was a sense of, oh, you don't care about the Jewish people being hurt and et cetera, et cetera. So I guess my question is, if North Korea is on the brink, and that it seems pretty unequivocal, of a nuclear weapon, is it virtuous? And I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm asking, is it virtuous to say, hey, we don't need unnecessary wars? Or is it virtuous to say, let's feel some pain now to avoid a lot of pain later?
I honestly, I guess for me, when I consider North Korea's capabilities, I kind of laugh about it. And I'm they've tried so many times and they don't have anything going.
But it seems like they've just miniaturized a nuclear warhead, and we're seeing the way that their ICBMs are being tested, right? I mean, literally a month ago, they said it was 18 months from now that they would be able to strike the U.S., and now they're saying it might be less than six. So if we're reevaluating to that degree in 30 days, I don't think we can be very sure of anything.
I think Fred and I, we were talking about this yesterday, and you guys lived through it a little more, like, you know, you were a little more mature than I was during this time. But it just seems a lot like Cold War stuff. Like, we've got this, we can do this. And we're saying, you better not. We've got this. If you do this, we're going to kick your ass. And it just seems sort of like that whole, like that, it's got that vibe to it.
Well, you know, again, I was 15 in 1985, so, I mean, I can remember. It's funny because, like you said, people might be 5, 6, 7 years apart in age, and that feels, especially when you're older, it doesn't feel like much. but you had very different experiences, right? If you were 10 years old in 1980, you remember, and a lot of listeners are going to remember, having bomb shelter drills.
Right.
Yeah. Where, like, not to the shelter, but you'd get under your desk and put your hands over your head.
Yeah,
like,
I was born in 1980. I never got under my desk and put my hands over my
exactly,
head.
Exactly, right? So you're 10 years younger, and no, like you said, no one 10 in 1990 – even, you know, the wall was down and was that 89? I can't remember. I think it might have been 91. But either way, it was right in that range when the Berlin Wall went down and there was no sense of like, oh, hey, we're on the brink of annihilation. There was trouble, but not the brink of annihilation. But here's what's interesting. If you read back through history or let's say post-nuclear history, is the concern wasn't, oh, we're going to, you know, blow each other up as much, because obviously it's mutual annihilation. There's just no way that Russia or America was going to be able to survive in any way like we were at the time, a nuclear exchange. So it was like a last resort, I guess. And that's what the whole movie Doctor Strangelove is about, right? The ultimate deterrent is you can't win, right? Or War Games even, right? You can't. It's an interesting game. The only way to win is not to play. So, but but now that there's, you know, X number of nuclear powers, that fear of one erratic general or one, you know, who knows if the president of country XYZ truly does go insane, right? We throw around the word insane, you know, for public figures and all that. But there's obviously big full institutions of people that think it's 1919 or they think whatever. And again, I'm not going to try to characterize insanity, but we know they don't have any connection to the real world. Every nuclear power that there is, there's an additional chance that someone that doesn't have a connection to the real world is going to have the ability on a whim, right? Think of all the guys or gals, but obviously domestic abuse usually goes in the guy to girl direction, is that there's been a lot of guys that's thrown gals down the steps. And yeah, obviously they should get punished to, you know, no end, but or not to no end, but they should really be punished. But most of those people weren't horrible people 99% of their lives, meaning they did a horrible thing. They had a one. Now, obviously, there are some people that are horrible. But if you look in jail, I would say, you know, and I'd like to hear you guys' thought, probably 70% would be my number of the people in jail are good people that did a bad thing. Right. Does that sound about right?
When you think about how many people are in for drugs and things like that, it's probably close.
Right. So now the question is, if it just takes 1 minute of wackiness, of seeing red, of being insane, and it was just Russia versus the U.S., we were scared of that. Now, as we keep adding countries, that it would just take 1 minute of insanity or even just seeing red to set off a nuclear attack. It does make sense, it would seem, if you've got the bomb and the other country doesn't, that you're going to try your very best to prevent it. So to me, I guess, AJ, that's the distinction, is the idea that Russia had the bomb, we had the bomb. It was just about how we dealt with that. That was the Cold War. The idea of another country and one with historically an erratic leadership having the bomb, it just seems like that the risk just keeps going up and up.
Yeah, I guess I think about, like, the at least late in the 80s part of the Cold War, I didn't feel like Ronald Reagan was insane. Now, like, I don't really know who the crazy person is with the weapons these days. I don't know if it's us. I don't know if it's other people. I don't know who's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously you're making a pretty strong political statement there, which is it's easy, you know. And again, this is the thing. I don't get political because no matter what, you're going to, you know, make half the people mad.
I don't care about the people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, I obviously. But that's why the Fire AJ hashtag, right? But yes. All the people you don't care about. But here's the thing, I think, is, well, one, personally, I am so disconnected. Like, you know, there's a bunch of things that, you know, I'd agree with on one side, a bunch of things on the other, a bunch of things I probably think that no one thinks or hardly anyone. So I can't even relate to the parties necessarily.
I'm the same way.
But But and I think a lot of really bright people are, not every bright person, because there's some brilliant, you know, I always say there's geniuses that are Republicans, there's geniuses that are Democrats. The idea that the positions are like crazy on the other side, I think moving in that direction has really hurt the discourse, right? And
agreed.
Obviously I'm not the first one to say that. But to me, what, and I'm going to in a way defend Trump, but I hope people listen closely because it's a very specific point, which is, President Trump has had amazing success in his life. And for whatever we want to say, oh, he had a dad that had money. Do you know how many people's dads had money that we've never heard of, that never did anything? If anything, yeah, obviously it helps you have some level of success when you start with money, if you can just maintain it. But to be, you know, a guy that has one of the best business books of, or best-selling business books of all time with The Art of the Deal, one of the greatest reality shows of all time when it comes to success and ratings, and then also be a real estate magnate. And then people will say, well, you know, the real estate kind of fell off after a certain time. And it was like, okay. And then he became a branding master that was making $100 million a year by licensing his name, right? How great would that be, right? AJ, if you put AJ on the side of the building, you make $1 million bucks.
That
right?
would be nice. AJ Towers.
You'd feel pretty, yeah, you'd feel pretty smart, wouldn't you? So it seems unequivocal that Trump is a talented man. So to me, all the ones that want to make it out that he's like an idiot or insane, I think every Republican has been, like, Nixon's considered, as bad as he was, to be a borderline political genius. Obviously, a horrible decision with Watergate. I'm not saying he was a good president. But if you listen to the political guys, this guy was – I mean, you think about it. He was vice president in 52 and 56. He almost won the presidency in 60. Yep. It was a hair against Kennedy. And then he comes back and wins again in 68 and 72. I mean, so he had five national elections and was 4 out of 5. You know, vice president or president. Obviously a great politician. And he wasn't a great looking guy. He wasn't charismatic, right? So it was about something else. Is the Democrats made Nixon out to be stupid. And then obviously Reagan was stupid and George W. Bush was stupid. And now Trump's stupid. Hey, it seems like there's a trend here, right? It can't just be that every Republican is stupid. Just like Republicans, you know, cast aspersions to Democrats that aren't all – like they're weak, right? Even though if you look at some of the things Obama did with deportations and other things, he was strong in those ways. So I think both sides have those cliches that just – there's no truth to.
I'm not
but
saying –
with Trump
– I'm not saying that Trump is stupid. I'm saying that Trump is has shown erratic behavior. And I think you could – if you follow his Twitter account –
But is, like it, is it erratic behavior or erratic talk? What has he done erratic?
Oh, he hasn't done much of anything. So it is erratic talk.
Well,
but what's Kim Jong-un done?
Well, what he's done is he's tested. We're telling him don't test this and don't test that, and he's testing it.
RJ, we test militarized weapons all the time.
Well, but if the debate, AJ, is we should expect – I mean – listen, anyone, even people that hate Trump will say, hey, listen, we've interfered in a bunch of countries, but hey, we have God on, you know, Bob Dylan has a great song, right? With God on our side, right? The trick is the country wants to make people, you know, if a country believes that God's on their side, then whatever they do is okay, right? So, but if you look at whatever Russia's accused of doing in this election, I think most people, Democrat or Republican, would say we've done just as bad, if not worse,
of course,
trying to interfere in other. So if the bar is, hey, other countries should have the exact same right as us, then I think you're going to fall in a small minority. Most Americans believe in our exceptionalism and that we, and especially because we're the biggest bully on the block, right? If you're back and you're a kid and the toughest guy in school says, AJ, now were you the toughest guy in school?
No, I was not.
All right. If the toughest guy said, AJ, I don't ever want to see you wearing a green shirt again. And you said, why? Because I said so. What do you do?
If the toughest guy said that to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'd probably just start buying some blue shirts.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're the tough – is Uncle Sam's the toughest guy on the block, and we're saying don't test the nuclear weapon. The idea that they're doing it means that now we have in our minds a right to react. So I don't think that's a debate, right? And I guess that's what's interesting about Trump. I do believe Trump is an amazing persuader, right? And again, I don't agree with everything by any stretch. But I think he, you know, it's just so funny to think about, the idea, and this is such a potent idea, if I would have told you 4 years ago that someone that's never ran for political office is going to run for president against 16 or 17 opposition in his party, and this guy had money, but, not 50 or 70 billion where he could spend. Trump spent less money than most of the campaigns, even though it was a lot of his money. They spent less. So he would underspend, right, whoever the money came from, never has held political office, never been in the military, been twice divorced. Just go down the kind of things that, on Trump's resume, right? And I said, he's going to be president.
I would have said, what odds?
Yeah. So how did he do it without talent? Like, you would think the other side would start by saying what caused him. Now, one thing that I will say is, well, the white working class, we lost them on the Democrat side. It's like, okay, but why didn't any of the other 16 or 17 Republicans better poach the white working class than Trump did? Like, what did Trump do to even win the Republican nomination that was so amazing? So if I asked you that question, how did he do something that you said would have said was impossible? What's the answer?
Well, he said he'd build a wall. And
a lot
of people in this country bought into the idea of a wall, which is an unrealistic idea, and I still don't think is going to happen. But people bought into that. Oh, he's going to keep Mexicans out of the United States, illegal Mexicans out of the U.S., and they wanted that.
So you're saying, now let's think about what this is fascinating. So what you're saying is this novice politician walked in. Now, there is multiple billion dollar industry of political consultants. All they do is read polls, focus groups, listen to radio, and all it is what is the right way to message? A guy like, Ted Cruz, right? A lot of people like Cruz, a lot of people don't, obviously in Texas, he's the kind of guy that takes a very big brain, had a team around him trying to figure out exactly the way to message this, that, and the other, and how to vote. Every vote he ever made was all about what's the political fallout of it. And somehow Donald Trump walked in and said, none of you guys have the right message, and I'm going to make up a message, and because the message is so superior, because what I'm going to suggest my actions will be as president is so superior that I'm going to beat all you guys, even though you have every other advantage. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so. I mean,
and if so, how brilliant is it?
I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's not brilliant the way that he got elected. I'm saying I don't know if I trust him to make major military decisions.
No, fair enough. Well, first of all, it doesn't matter if you trust him because it's all about a democracy, right? So he does have those rights. But the point I'm making is, as much as I disagree with stuff with him at times, is it seems like the starting point of a conversation is to talk about how he did what was nearly impossible.
He did do that.
And then, but if you think about the opposition to Trump, how many times is the context of the conversation that we're dealing with a guy that accomplished something no one has since Eisenhower, and obviously a World War II hero was different, where he was a non-politician. And prior to that, no one, I don't even know who you could say was a non-politician. It was certainly before Hoover in 28. So he's done something that has never been done in the modern era. Wow, how did he do it? Other than saying, well, always voters are deplorable or irredeemable. That's obviously not the answer. So it strikes me that is the main problem of all these Trump conversations, is no one seems to, or the opposition doesn't want to acknowledge the reason for his appeal and the reason for his success.
I've got nothing.
I actually got AJ. I won a debate with AJ.
You won a debate with me.
Woo! Hey, Fred, make sure we print this, baby.
I've got to ask you one sports question before we let you go.
Why?
Well, because Zeke Elliott's kind of a big deal in this state and with a lot of our listeners.
Okay.
So just real quickly, his impact, what Vegas sees is his impact, and is that going to affect anything like odds to win the division or even Super Bowl odds?
So this is – funny thing is we could talk about this for 10 minutes. So we'll keep it real high level and – or not real high, but moderate. So the debate in Vegas is Elliott worth a half a point per game or a point per game? And obviously it's not a binary. It could be, 0.7 or whatever. Now, I'm more towards the half a point. So let's just talk about that, because a lot of people are towards the half a point too. So, okay, here in Vegas. Is Now, most listeners are like, what? A half a point? Well, I mean, think about it. Adrian Peterson is the last running back and the only running back in the last 10 or 12 years to be worth more than a point. So I don't think any, and Peterson was about 1.5, maybe 1.7 during his very best years. So I don't think anyone's putting Elliott into that category at this point. Now you got to ask yourself, how much does the Dallas line have to do with it, right? We've seen times with Denver back in the day and different really, and we saw it with Dallas with the running back that ended up going to Buffalo. I'm having a mental block that went to Buffalo after a really good year. Is when you have a good offensive line, so how much of Elliott is the line? How much is his like amazing talent? Then you've got to consider the fact that whoever replaces him will actually get better and better relative to game one, because the team's going to get more familiar with the replacement and that player is going to get more comfortable and more. So usually whenever someone's out 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, that week one's the hardest week and the last week's the easiest week. Now that will change if it's a whole season, because players that aren't used to playing a whole season will start to wear down. And you saw that with D'Angelo Williams with Pittsburgh when, you know, Bell's been out at times and he starts out hot, then he really slows down, because when you get older, especially, it's hard to run a bunch every game week after week. So I think that most people are going to be surprised Vegas is adjusting only moderately for Elliott. And the fact is, yeah, you might go from 12-1 to 14-1 on the Super Bowl odds, but we're talking very modest, because not only are we saying it's modest for the game, he's certainly going to be out, but he's not going to be out for the playoffs because of this. So the only effect is, do they maybe get a wild card instead of a division winning the division because of his absence? So certainly once they make the play, if they do make the playoffs, it wouldn't matter at that. If anything, it'd be an advantage because he's not going to be as tired.
All right. That's RJ Bell, gambling guru.
What do
guru.
You think? I know we got to run, but what do you think?
I don't think it's going to have much of an impact at all.
I think they've got good backups there. Yeah. I think that they'll do fine, but I do think losing their best player on offense from last year is a big deal. And I think I'm more looking at it in how it affects Dak Prescott. And I think that if anybody should be pissed off about this, it's Dak Prescott, because Ezekiel Elliott made Dak Prescott's job a lot easier last year than it could have been.
Well, I was talking to a guy that I follow in Cleveland, and he said, oh, Elliott was like such a golden child at Ohio State. And I don't, even though I'm an alum, I don't follow every move with the Buckeyes. And I was like, man, at the end, you know, when they lost and he was complaining about carries, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, what is the sense with Elliott? Obviously, this stuff has come out, but prior to this, was he like on an ABCDEF kind of, or I guess there's no E, ABCDEF scale, is when it came to like his character, what was like the hubbub behind the scenes about Elliott? I mean, was there character concerns before the draft?
I don't remember a ton of them, to be honest. But I also think that when you look at somebody who's been coached by Urban Meyer, you can't really be too surprised about anybody.
What does that mean?
I mean, Urban Meyer's had a few guys now that have made trouble off the field.
Wow. See, that we could have a whole discussion about that, which we can't.
Not everybody's Tim Tebow.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is if you're is there many programs that recruited at that highest level that have had less problems?
John, you just said 31 arrests at Florida.
Yes.
Under Urban Meyer? 31 arrests.
Oh,
that
John
was just fight. At Florida.
John hasn't said anything in 2 months, and he jumps in with being against the Buckeyes?
He said at Florida, RJ,
right,
at Florida.
But he's our coach now.
Don't get me started on trading that, tattoos and things like that.
Just cause of that, John, I'm asking a 45-second question to Fred and extending this 45 more seconds. Fred, what's your take on Trump and how he became president?
I'm staying out of this.
Brett doesn't like to talk politics.
No, actually, we did talk about this when RJ filled in, and you know, I think there is a there's something to be said for the way he played the media, and
I think there's something to be said for the way he played people.
Yeah, well, but the message comes from the message is filtered a lot too, and I just think I thought it was. It helped that he was up against maybe the worst opponent, too, that we've seen in forever. I mean,
you would have to say winning the nomination was maybe the toughest fight
in history.
Yeah, that was impressive.
But well, guys, good stuff.
All right, that was fun. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
We forgave the Germans, and then we were friends. Though they might have taken me.